My name is Will DeFries, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. It's probably because my mom used to read me Eloise as a child. The way she'd ride the elevator, torment the staff, and order room service to the tippy-top floor of the Plaza Hotel. My feelings toward the matter were probably further amplified by Kevin's stay at the Plaza over Christmas in Home Alone 2. Sparing no expense, his dedication to lounging in the suite was something I aspired to do that following spring break. As it goes with any vacation, there's always a palpable excitement before checking into the hotel, something I've romanticized my entire life. These days, I spend far too much time doing the hotel version of menu baiting. And for any new listeners out there, menu baiting is the simple act of endlessly reviewing a menu before going to a restaurant. But with hotels, it's always a little different than simply perusing a downloadable PDF menu from the restaurant's website. You check and then you double check what type of room you booked. You look at all the amenities, the spa offerings, the wine list at the hotel bar, whether or not the restaurant in the hotel is actually worth going to. And by the time you check in, you feel as though you've been shadowing the concierge for the past few weeks. Granted, I'm pretty ignorant. But not too ignorant to ignore that this excitement doesn't exist for just any hotel. Some hotels aren't worth the excitement, especially if you're in a city where your hotel is simply a place to rest your head at night instead of a place to lounge. This sentiment exists simply for those special occasions. When you get a reduced rate at a nice hotel because of a wedding block. When you and your significant other are having a special weekend away. Honeymoons, baby moons, anniversary celebrations, whatever it may be. This is for those trips when the city isn't your destination, but the actual hotel is. As you approach the front desk and clutch your credit card, the anticipation begins to build. You know that checkout will feel much darker and more hollow after all the drinks you charged to your room, but that's a problem for 4 days from now. After checking in and confirming your room is ready, they always seem to ask one question. Do you need help bringing your bags to the room? Of course, nice hotels will whisk them away without even concerning you. But most hotels, the one that you can actually afford to stay in, give you the option. Sure, why not, you think? I mean, you've probably got a $5 bill in your pocket that you can give them as a tip. And if you don't, well, everyone in the lobby will know you're the asshole who didn't tip for the rest of the trip. There's a moment when the door cracks open to your new home for the next few days. It's the, did we get a good room or do we get a bad room moment that strikes fear into anyone's heart. But throwing your bags down and falling face first in the bed has never felt better, especially after how long you've spent looking forward to this vacation. Clean sheets, room service menus, hotel branded pens that you're definitely going to steal. Yep, it's all there. But as you open the closet doors and hang up the nice clothes that you brought, there's an indescribable moment of excitement that washes over you as you see the crown jewel hanging right there in front of your eyes. It's a freshly cleaned, perfectly plush hotel robe. And you're about to live in it for the next 4 to 7 days. My love affair with hotel robes began at a hotel that I can't remember due to my age at the time. We were on a family vacation and I was told, and I quote, this is probably the nicest hotel you'll ever stay in. But at the age of 4 or 5, that's essentially meaningless since every hotel we stayed in felt novel and impressive. They even have robes for kids, my dad told me. And while I'm not sure if I actually remember wearing it or simply think I remember because of a photo we took in them, it was decided that I'd be the hotel robe connoisseur for the rest of my life. Most, but not all, hotel robes are cut from the same cloth, figuratively speaking, of course. White, plush, size XL to accommodate most people, all with an embroidered logo across the chest that you wear proudly. Some, however, are upgraded versions. Silk trim on the sleeves, plush interiors that feel like a cozy blanket. Some hotels have silk robes that you feel hesitant to even put on, the real sign of true luxury. Yet even if you don't own a bathrobe or wear one at home, you find yourself draping your body in it for the entirety of the trip. Wake up in the morning? Let me toss on that robe since it's a chilly 66 degrees in here. Getting ready for dinner that night? What better time to enjoy a robe than post-shower and pre-getting dressed? Just got done taking down spritzes at the pool all day? How about a casual robe nap while everyone else makes their way to their respective hotel rooms? Any downtime becomes robe time, and any robe time becomes downtime. It's a holy matrimony that coaxes us all into feeling a bit more relaxed, a bit more zen, and without getting charged for it, unlike that Diet Coke in the mini fridge that was $6. Get some cocktail sauce on it from the room service shrimp cocktail. No problem. A new one will be in the closet later that day, or at least in the morning. Can't find your phone before going to dinner? Fear not. It's definitely in that right-hand pocket of the hotel robe draped over the chair. It'll be there when you get back if you feel like going off the grid for a bit. Too lazy to turn up that thermostat after getting in bed all night? That's all right. You can simply doze off in your hotel robe and wake up spry the next morning. And across the entirety of your trip, your hotel robe will act as your emotional support cloak. Something waiting for you when you get home, something that gives you a hug every time you put it on, something you'll crave once you've checked out and boarded the early flight home, because I know you booked that one. And if you're like me, you'll fall so in love with one particular robe that you just end up buying one to have at home. Sure, it won't feel as good to put on the next time you stay at the hotel, but can you really put a price on feeling the hotel level luxurious, just comfort in your own home? I think Eloise and Kevin McAllister know the answer to that. In what some people believe to be a eulogy partially for himself, Ernest Hemingway wrote, quote, "Best of all, he loved the fall. The fall with the tawny and gray, the leaves yellow on the cottonwoods, leaves floating on the trout streams, and above the hills, the high blue windless skies. He loved to shoot, he loved to ride, and he loved to fish." And it should be no surprise to any listeners of this show that fall is the most Sunday scaries of seasons. The coziness, the magnetic attraction you have to a blanket and a book every Sunday, and my personal favorite, the ceremonial lighting of scented candles. As I do every fall, or really every season, I've decided to take advantage of our first episode of October by giving you three different scented candle recommendations, none of which I benefit from in the slightest. One reasonable, one mid-range, and one splurge purchase, I can guarantee that your fall afternoon on the couch will only be enriched by burning any one of them. Our first is from someone who you probably have heard about at this point, and if you haven't, I haven't done a good job of selling my own candles. Of course, I'm talking about Velabox. While New York in the fall has been in stock over the last week, this one is a different one. It's called Red Blend, and it is $24. This is our reasonable candle. It's 8 ounces with a 50-hour burn time, and it's on the woodsy side of the smell spectrum. Their description says, "Full-bodied, round, and rich with notes of blackberry, black cherry, and oak. It's a beautiful night with good food, good friends, and of course, good wine." As always, I can always put my confidence behind Velabox, as you know, they're the makers of my personal candles anyway, but I have to say, they do such a great job top to bottom with all of their candles that it's just worth giving Red Blend a try. Next, we have our mid-range candle. It's called Notting Hill by Bohème. And of course, because I can't pronounce anything correctly, I'm sure they say Bohème or something like that, but I'm gonna go with Bohème because that's what, you know, you're supposed to say. This candle, of course, it's called Notting Hill, like I just said, has top notes of Earl Grey tea, bergamot, and blackcurrant. They have middle notes of honeysuckle, rose, carnation, and peony, and base notes of vetiver, moss, amber, and cedarwood. Of course, because this is our mid-range option, it's a little more on the expensive side. It's $49. But after the description they write, you might think to yourself, you know what, this might be worth it. They say, "Saturday on Portobello Road, and the market is alive and everything from vintage records to fresh fare from local growers. With a cup of Earl Grey in hand, she alights on an iron bench, the sound of birdsong in her ears, and the smell of carnation and tree moss in the breeze. Every hidden corner of London is special, but here, perhaps, is the most special of all." Not sure why, but during the pandemic, I started drinking a lot of Earl Grey tea, and there's something I will always associate with coziness and tea. It's probably because I'm a little bit of an Anglophile myself, but all the other scent notes in here, the bergamot, the peony, the rose, the vetiver, the moss, everything just kind of adds up to a perfect fall candle. And now for our splurge purchase. It's called Dark Wood by Matt at Len. And this is, you can find it for different prices online, but I'm gonna say it's about $110. And I think that price is only going up. Made in France, Matt at Len's containers are made of hand-hammered blackened steel. I actually used to sell these myself at an old job of mine, and they were some of my favorite scented candles that we sold. Of course, they are kind of the same price range as Sir Trudon, which also makes a ton of perfect scented candles for fall, but there was something about Matt at Len that was just kind of more connected to the earth in a way. I know that sounds a little heady, but that's just kind of how it was. This is definitely a smoky candle. It has scent notes of smoke, leather, ebony, tar, and burned bark, and it's perfect for anyone living in New York City without a working fireplace. On their website, they describe it as deep, intense, and saturated with smoke. Darkwood is a frigid autumn night on the trail made warmer with a crackling campfire. The cowboys hang their saddles to dry by the heat, while the night's dinner roasts on a spit above the flames. Stories are shared. A whiskey flask is passed back and forth. A night spent under the stars. Enjoy. Support for the Sunday Scaries podcast is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming. Their fourth generation performance package absolutely changed the grooming game along with their refined body wash to round out your hygiene routine. Join the over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for their shower time routine by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code SCARIES. There's nothing that can ruin a night out like nicking yourself before you head out for the night. Trust me. Keep the grooming game going with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all of your goodies. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology, and the Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and it gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when you need a more precise shave. Oh, and good news, it's waterproof too. This trimmer is truly a shower essential. The Performance 4.0 package also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top with your nose and ear hair. But honestly, with the lawnmower, I even use it on my beard. That is how strong it is. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered by a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. It truly cleans you up. Manscaped even throws in two free gifts in their Performance Package 2.0, the boxers and the shed travel bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SCARIES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code SCARIES at manscaped.com. Keep yourself trimmed, fresh, and clean with Manscaped. It's times like this that I remember that being left-handed can be a curse. My wrist hurts these days faster than it did when I was in grade school, but this pain runs deeper than early onset arthritis. As I look down, I see something I haven't seen in too long. The underside of my left hand is completely covered in lead. Yep, just like after that essay test in high school when everyone else could go about their day, while I feel like I endlessly scrubbed my hand in the bathroom trying to get it all off. These days, however, I, myself, is more to attribute to this pain than any teacher is. As much as I tout routines on this very show, I'll be the first to admit that I've been somewhat loose lately when it comes to those things that ground me. This year especially, I feel like I've fallen more out of my routine than I have settled into it. It could be a change in mindset, it could just be the natural shift of the world over these past few years, or it could be the second year fatherhood rearing its head at me. But in doing so, you know, falling out of that routine, I feel like I've somewhat found parts of myself that I kind of left behind over the last few years. While there's still merit to consistency, I've somewhat reveled in intentionally not knowing what's coming next for me. That is, until the last couple months, when I found myself in a self-admitted rut. I spoke about it at length a few weeks ago on the show, but I simply didn't feel like myself for a while. Yes, I checked if Mercury was in retrograde, and I can assure you that it was not. And no, I don't feel like I've completely washed myself of this rut. But recently, while on vacation, I had the gift of something I hadn't had in a long time, and that is time. Did I use this newly found free time to its fullest extent? Well, no, not really. I kind of spent it watching episodes of Industry on my iPad. I read conversations with friends on my Kindle and remembered why Sally Rooney tortures me inside. I stood on the porch of our hotel room and I stared off into the distance. I wouldn't say it was productive, but it sure as hell at least felt good. But upon returning home, I knew I was going to miss it, that free time that I could burn without any regard. Luckily for me, the jet lag kicked in and I started waking up at 5 a.m. every day, a gift and a curse. And without even planning on it, I started to have a lot more free time in the morning than previously, something I haven't had since my son was born. It could have been an old habit popping up, but I think I can attribute this to, you know, the characters of the Sally Rooney novel instead. I did something I hadn't done in too long, and I started journaling again. I took out my spiral notebook, I opened it to the most recent page without any writing on it, and I just started going. No strategy, no structure, no expectations. And to make sure I stuck with this, you know, this time around, I created an alert on my phone that simply said journal that pops up every day at 7 a.m. In more days than not, I've had the luxury of checking that reminder off having already done it, something that's all too rare for me when it comes to other tasks hanging over my head. If I had to describe the way that these journals have materialized, I'd say it's kind of embarrassing in a way. But I think it's how journals are supposed to be. Candid enough that you feel good about what you're writing, but open enough that you shudder thinking about other people reading it. My passages haven't been deep thoughts within me spewing out onto the paper. Instead, they read like motivational LinkedIn pages aiming to inspire me to change my behaviors, to trust myself more, or simply continue to have good behaviors that I've been enjoying lately. It's acted as a morning reminder and pep talk that my day will be as good or bad as I decide to make it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that my good days have outweighed my bad days lately. For so long, I've used something completely different as my journal, this podcast. Whether it's evident or not, I've always considered myself to be a pretty open book when discussing my emotional state here. Sometimes it's targeted, like that segment a few weeks ago about being in a rut, and other times I may mix in certain segments to just work through things behind the scenes. But admittedly, I haven't done as much writing lately, which I attribute to two things. One, I've been doing a little less with the Sunday Scaries podcast format, and that probably has to do with number two. We've been having so much fun doing retail therapy that I've simply let them replace Scaries episodes, something that may start happening more and more as we're going forward too. There's part of me that's encouraged though, that when I don't do as much writing professionally, I still have that itch to do it in my personal life. And I've been writing for work so much over the last 8 years that there's a part of me that was scared that I'd lost that itch altogether. Journaling, however, has spread like a rash that I can't stop itching, and I really don't want to stop itching it, honestly. It makes sense after looking at all the benefits of journaling. In 2018, the New York Times said this of those benefits, quote, "Once the domain of teenage girls in the I don't even know how to say the word if I'm being honest, but I'm not going to worry about it. Journaling has become a hallmark of the so-called self-care movement, right up there with meditation. There are obvious benefits like a boost in mindfulness, memory, and communication skills, but studies have also found that writing in a journal can lead to better sleep, a stronger immune system, more self-confidence, and a higher IQ. How does it lead to those things? Well, I'll let you go find that article for yourself. Whatever benefits I'm feeling are, which I'm trying not to overanalyze right now, I simply don't think it's a coincidence that my mental health feels prioritized on the days when I do it. Even the way that I've handled situations since has felt more controlled, more mature, and a little more thoughtful to me. And I know this isn't a quote, from a book that I was reading on vacation, but I got that Sally Rooney kick and I finally had to page through Normal People for the first time only to read this of the main character Connell in his journal. She wrote of him, "He finds himself crossing things out in his journal as if he imagines some future person poring over it in detail, as if he wants the future person to know which ideas he thought better of." But when applying that to myself, I began to realize that the future person poring over it in detail may not be anyone I know. It's hopefully just myself looking back retroactively to see how far I've come. And sometimes having that reassurance of how I was feeling at the time is more important than being right or wrong. The beautiful thing about a journal, though, is that right or wrong doesn't even have to exist. And that's just the way that I like it. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also follow along on Twitter at @SundayScaries and Instagram, which is at @Sunday.Scaries, or you can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram at @WillDeFries. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday.